Dr. Ellen Beakley is going to lead us with a homily today. Dr. Beakley.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Did your mother or father or big brother or sister or your teacher or your coach or your husband or your wife ever ask you that? I think we might be inclined to ask St. Matthew the same thing. Yes, Matthew, I know that you are one of the Lord's chosen apostles and that the church recognizes you as a saint, but nevertheless, what were you thinking? Did you ever set out to read the whole Bible starting at the beginning, Genesis 1, and continuing until you got to the end of Revelation? How did that go for you? Not a few people have said that they were doing fine until they came to a whole series of, in King James English, a whole series of begats. So-and-so begat somebody else, and that somebody else begat yet another person, and... Oh, who wants to read all that stuff, they say. Let's get on with the story, shall we? So, what were you thinking, St. Matthew? What were you thinking, starting off your account of Jesus' birth and death, birth and teaching, with a whole lot of begats in the King James Version? The Orthodox Study Bible, using the New King James Version, has updated it a little. They're not begat, they're begot. The Revised Standard Version that we heard today just says that so-and-so was the father of. But we can say to St. Matthew, did you want everybody to stop reading before they even finished the first chapter? I skipped ahead and I did find that you got to something much more interesting toward the end of the chapter. The bit about the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about a virgin giving birth. And that this child is to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But why didn't you just tell us that at the beginning, instead of making us wade through that boring list of names? I think St. Matthew might well have replied, we Jews are much more interested in our ancestry, our heritage, than you are. For all the popularity of that TV series about genealogy, who do you think you are? And despite the far greater knowledge you have about genetics, much of the time you don't seem to care. In many cases, your names don't really say much about who you are. They may say something about one of your ancestors, e.g. that he was a baker or a miller, or that he came from a particular place, Bronckhorst, or what his father's name was, but that doesn't say much about you. And most of you can't or don't bother to trace your ancestry back more than a few generations. Many of you think that your successes are due to you yourself, while your failings, your sins, if you can even bring yourselves to imagine such a thing, those are the things for which your ancestry is to blame. Some of you do not even acknowledge that your biology, your anatomy, has anything to do with who you really are. But we, St. Matthew would continue, do not see ourselves as just isolated individuals. We see ourselves as members of a community. We are interested in more than just a few generations back. We escaped from Egypt under the leadership of Moses, even though that happened more than 1,000 years before we were born. So St. Matthew sets out to show who Jesus is. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Yet he does not think it sufficient merely to state that Jesus is son of David and son of Abraham. He has to show that the individual generations, the steps by which Jesus can be shown to be descended from David and Abraham. But it's a selective list, sometimes skipping over a few generations to arrive at three groups of 14, twice seven, 7 being the number indicating perfection or completion, and 14 also being the value of the letters of the name David in Hebrew. As you may know, Hebrew did not have separate numerals, but used letters to stand for numerals. Our own family trees are not always like neatly trimmed ornamental trees. If we do start researching our ancestry, we often find all kinds of surprises and irregularities. Previously unknown family members who never made it home from the hospital where they were born. An ancestor for whom no father is recorded. A distant cousin with far too many wives, and not all one after the other either. The family tree that St. Matthew reproduces is not so neat and tidy either. Even though it's a somewhat selective list, he didn't leave out some of the people that we might have expected him to leave out. Even though men cannot become fathers without a woman, the Hebrew genealogies typically overlooked the woman who actually gave birth to the man's child. But St. Matthew does tell us who some of the mothers were, and especially those who became mothers in unconventional, even improper ways. Not unconventional in any biological sense, not for the first few anyway, but in violation of the social and moral norms. The first of the mothers he mentions is Tamar. She was not Jewish. She was a Canaanite who had been the wife of Judah's eldest son, but he had died without fathering children by her. Then her dead husband's younger brother had married her in accordance with the custom of the time, but he too had died without her having a child by him. The next younger brother should then, again in accordance with the custom of the time, have married her, but Judah, her father-in-law, seemed reluctant to make the necessary arrangements. So Tamar masqueraded as a prostitute and tricked Judah into fathering a child by her. Two children, twins in fact. And then there is Ruth. She too is a foreigner, not an Israelite, but from the land of Moab, who chose to accompany her Jewish mother-in-law back to the land of Judah after the death of her husband. She became the wife of Boaz and was counted as an ancestor of David, Israel's renowned king. Another mother, whom St. Matthew mentions, although not by name, is Bathsheba, also presumably not Jewish, but a Hittite like her husband Uriah, one of King David's generals. David fell in lust with Bathsheba, seduced her, and then arranged for her husband to be killed when it was discovered that she was pregnant. So even if, as it must have appeared to many at the time, and it was sometimes alleged by Jesus' enemies, even if Mary's pregnancy was the result of sexual misconduct, Israelite history had its share of heroes and heroines who are not exactly role models for the nation's youth. Why do we need all these names? Isn't it enough to know that a child was born of a virgin, that this was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy? No, his ancestry is important too. Joseph's receiving Mary publicly as his wife and naming the child Jesus shows that he accepted the child as legally his, even though not biologically his. The Jesus who was born of the Virgin Mary was not just anyone, not just a disembodied bearer of a divine message, as one commentator has said. He is truly human, but not merely a human. He is a Jew by his descent from Abraham, and he is truly the promised Davidic king, even more so than Joseph, his presumed father. As the synaxarian for Orthros this morning, which I don't think we didn't read this version, or at least I didn't hear it, but this is what I found online. He was not a ghost, an apparition, a myth, a distant imagined god, or the abstract god of philosophers. Such a god does not have a family tree. Our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has flesh and blood, human ancestors, many of whom sinned greatly, but like David also repented greatly. Yet all of these righteous ones in every age had been well-pleasing to God because they loved him. By taking on human nature, the Son of God became like us in all ways, in flesh and blood, in mind and soul, and in heart and will. He differed from us in only one way. He could not sin. St. Matthew kills two birds with one stone. He shows that Jesus is a descendant of Abraham and thus is a true Israelite. He is also a descendant of David and thus of the royal line. Later in St. Matthew's Gospel, we find that Jesus is not merely a descendant of Abraham, not merely an Israelite. He is himself the new Israel. Like Israel of old, he goes down into Egypt and is protected from the murderous wrath of Herod, the new Pharaoh. He is the new Moses who is called up from Egypt and gives his people a new law, a law which he himself fulfills. I mentioned that St. Matthew's list of Joseph's ancestors is selective, and up until now I have been even more selective. I have not so far mentioned another of the mothers whom St. Matthew does include in his list of Jesus' ancestors. Today's assigned epistle reading is selective too, and skips over that same woman. We jumped straight from verse 10 to verse 32, leaving out the references to Sarah and even to Rahab the prostitute, who St. Matthew tells us was the mother or ancestress, at least, of Boaz. The epistle holds her up as an example of those who were saved by their faith. Despite her way of life and her chosen profession, she believed what she had heard about the God of Israel and acted on that faith, and welcomed the Israelite spies into the city of Jericho, and thus was instrumental in Israel taking possession of the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised them. As Professor Edith Humphrey said in her podcast last year dealing with these readings, whereas St. Matthew gives us the natural genealogy of Jesus, the Epistle to the Hebrews gives us the spiritual genealogy. And again, she points out that even that harlot Rahab is among the great cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12. All those ancestors of Christ, yes, even including Rahab the prostitute, are our ancestors too, if we have been, as St. Paul says, by faith grafted into Israel. Those faithful of old may even have a much better claim to be our ancestors than our own biological ancestors, if those biological ancestors were not Christians. Jesus, the one who saves, has come not to save the righteous, but to save even us, the unrighteous, those who sin in many different ways, the adulterers, prostitutes, even murderers, sins which Jesus himself teaches that we commit in our hearts, even if not physically. And from yesterday evening's Great Vespers, as we the faithful celebrate today the forefathers' memory, let us praise Christ the Redeemer and our King, who magnified them in the midst of all nations upon the earth, and through faith accomplished strange and wondrous signs, performing marvels and miracles, since he is powerful and strong, and who from them has shown to us that rod of power prophesied, Mary, the child of God, who alone had no experience of man, and from whom came the flower, the promised Christ, who sprouted life for all, inexhaustible delight, and our salvation to eternity. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to him forever. Amen.